Turn to God's word now. Ian, we're going to scrub the Genesis reading, just go straight to Ephesians 6. This passage we've been looking at, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. We've tried to squeeze so much into this service that we've maybe just run on a tad, so this is an official request for patience when Alistair comes to speak, because he's got an important message. So let's read Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Alistair.
Much, Joe, for that notice. I was really keen to give that priority this morning. So often we want to apply God's truth into the world in which we live, and sometimes we don't have enough time analyzing what is happening out there. We've spoken about the belt of truth. What does God's word say about what Joe has just spoken about? We've spoken about the good news of peace, the stability that we need in our lives, and how confusing it can be. So it's so difficult to stand firm and to remain committed to what we believe in a culture which is so confusing. But this morning I want to speak about faith. And I know that is a subject which for some of you is experiential, and for some of you it's theoretical. I know that there are many people in our church who are exploring the faith. And as we come towards Easter, I want to ask you to pray that this Easter will be different. That as we remember Christ crucified on the cross, as we remember Christ raised from the dead, that it will not just be something that happened, but something that is transforming your life today. So the key question, if you're exploring the faith, is this: what does it mean to have faith in God and in Christ Jesus? What difference does it make? Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot have forgiveness and eternal life. Can I say that again? Without faith, you can't have forgiveness from God and eternal life, no matter how good a life you try to lead. Without faith, you cannot face the ultimate, which we all must face, which is death itself. Now, one of the elders in my previous church is dying this week, and my wife's uncle is dying this week, and we've been phoning, and what a difference faith makes in that situation. Without faith, you cannot persevere through suffering. We're not immune from suffering in this life. Without faith, you cannot get through it. Without faith, you have no protection against the attacks of the devil. In case you think that this subject of the devil is OTT, and why are we still talking about it? 4 days in Berlin last week, highlight was the Museum of German Resistance. in the middle of the Ministry of Defense, in the same room that Adolf Hitler declared to 50 generals his plan to take over the world, to exterminate the Jews, to eliminate the disabled. One out of 50 generals resigned, 49 carried on as if nothing was happening. And the man who was showing us around the museum, with tears in his eyes, said these words. He said, "We Germans were the devils of the 21st century. We Germans were the devils of the 21st century. Of the 20th century, sorry. We Germans were the devils of the 20th century. But not all of us. But not all of us. Some resisted against the evil." And he went on to tell us the story of people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So you ask him, and he would say, evil is not a theory. You open the words of the Bible, and the Bible is telling us evil is rooted in a person, a personal spiritual being. And to resist evil, we need faith. So do you have this faith? Do you know what it is? How do you cope with suffering when it comes into your life? How do you cope when injustices happen in your life? When life is not fair, when people do things which are just so wrong, how do you get through the day? How do you get through the week? You need faith. Do you have it? Do you know how to get it? You see, it must be more than an intellectual thing. Do you know it says in James chapter 2 that the devil believes in God? That the devil knows that Jesus died on the cross? The devil knows that Jesus was risen from the dead on the third day? Just to believe that it happened is not saving faith. It's not faith that takes you through the trial. It's not faith that helps you. Has your faith moved beyond a sort of, yeah, that happened, I believe that, tick? It must be rooted and established in relationship with Jesus, the most important person in your life. Not. You see, unless it's rooted, when the trouble comes, you'll fall away. It's not a putting your hand up in a meeting, an emotional experience 20 years ago, and you got your ticket to heaven. That is not Christian faith. It's a continuing, rooted, and established in Him. It must be faith in the cross of Christ. It's not enough to say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Do you know that Peter, Jesus said, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Son of God. Wow. Jesus said, you are absolutely right, Peter. That has been revealed to you by God. And now, Peter, I want to tell you that I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be rejected by the teachers. I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Peter takes Jesus to one side and says, no, messiahs don't die on the cross. Holy men don't die on the cross. God's Savior doesn't die on the cross. That's not the way it works, Jesus. And Jesus says, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Because it was faith in Jesus sent by God, but not the Jesus who was going to die on the cross for Peter's sins. Because Peter was proud. He didn't even want Jesus to wash him. You don't wash me, Jesus says. Unless I wash you clean, Peter, you can have no part in me. It must be saving faith. which shows in our life. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved, rescued, forgiven, set right with God, given eternal life. Remember Paul and Silas and the singing hymns in prison and the earthquake and the doors fly open and all the prisoners escape apart from Paul and Silas, and the jailer is ready to commit suicide, and Paul says, no, don't do that. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The Lord, the one who was risen from the dead. And he was baptized that day, that jailer. See, faith is more than a private belief. Believe and be baptized. Why is baptism important? Because it's public. It's not private. See, if Jesus is your Lord, are you prepared to stand up and identify with him and with his people? Christian faith is not a God TV individualized experience, an internet faith. It's a joining his church and working with his people to do God's work in this world. And it must be saving faith. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key verse. Do you have peace? Do you have peace with God? We've preached that many, many times, and I won't preach it again today, but you have to have God to set you right. You can't sort yourself out. You can't fix yourself. You need to trust him and what he's done for you. And it has to be a faith that perseveres to the end. It has to continue. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's not believe in him now once and that's it. It's in the continuous present tense. Believe in him and go on believing in him right to the end. And Alison's uncle and my fellow elder on their deathbed, they will have a battle of faith right to the end. They'll have all the attacks of the evil one coming in at them. People often have spiritual attacks even on their deathbed. It's right to the end. But the good news is this, it's by God's power that we do it. This teaching from Ephesians 6 is telling us that God's done it. God's got the power. God's going to give you all the help you need. But you need to be active. You need to ask daily for his help. God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. You know, parents, you've bought your children coats and you get really frustrated when it's raining and they don't put their coats on. And you say, put your coat on. And they say, I'll be all right. And the rain comes on and then they come home absolutely soaked. And you say, why didn't you put your coat on? I bought you that beautiful new coat. And when I say that you have everything you need, you still need to put it on. You need to put the truth on. You need to put that gospel of peace on. You need to put that shield up. If you want to read more on this, the classic passage is Hebrews chapter 11. It gives lots of examples of people of faith. For Abraham, for example, who changed direction in his life. Have you ever come to a point in life where you have to make a big change of direction and you're feeling afraid? Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham and Sarah had an unsolvable problem. Old and childless, and they were promised an heir by God. They were promised an heir, but they were old, they were childless. Unsolvable problem. Doubts are creeping in. How's this going to work, Lord? And God says, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield." And then later on, Abraham sacrificed his own son, and God intervened and stopped him at the last minute. Sometimes we have to obey God even when we don't understand it. And in the process of our obedience, our faith is demonstrated. Are you prepared to obey God even when you don't understand it? Do you know better than God? So how can we move on between now and Easter in our faith? How can we take a step forward? Where are you on this journey? People say, you know, that let's just enjoy the journey and not worry about it. Or perhaps you just can't be sure about anything, so let's just enjoy the journey. Well, Jesus says, "I am the destination, and I am the one that will accompany you on the journey. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me." So do you understand who Jesus is? Do you have a conviction about the truth? Have you moved beyond understanding to a conviction? Have you got a sense on this journey that you are starting to, this is true? The more I hear it, the more I know it's true. That is not yet saving faith. To know something is true does not mean it's true faith. If you think of dieting, we all know that vegetables are better for us. We're convinced of the truth of that, but we prefer chocolate biscuits. So knowing and even being convinced of the truth is not saving faith. There has to be a stepping out in trust. Think about marriage for a moment. You perhaps you have a rational process. Perhaps you write down the pros and the cons. A bit dangerous if you leave the note lying around. But you think about it. Is this the right person to marry? Then you become convinced of the truth that this is the right person to spend the rest of your life with. But you will not have all the answers. You will have to take a step of faith, walk down the aisle, and promise. And it's only looking back that you will know whether you made the right decision. It's only in the obedience of faith that you complete your faith and you confirm your faith. So I want to ask you, how long are you going to stay at understanding? How long are you going to stay at, yes, that's true? Are you going to step out this Easter? Are you going to step out and take God at his word and say, I don't understand everything, but I understand enough to know that you are true, to know that you are trustworthy, to know that you did come and you did die for me. And I know enough to know that I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. I know enough that the only hope for me for life after death is through faith in your resurrection. And I know I cannot do it on my own. This is the other thing that comes in. We're ready to take the leap of faith, but we think, well, I'm not good enough, or I'll never keep it up. That's the devil. You take a step and you jump in. And isn't the water lovely? I wasn't thinking about baptism, but that is applicable to baptism as well. God has got power for you. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You see, two things are going to happen for sure. The first thing that's going to happen is you, unless I tell you this morning, you're going to get surprised when suffering cuts in on your life. If someone came to faith in this church, the same month they were made redundant. It was the redundancy that was the final step into the arms of God. God doesn't make Christians immune from suffering. You see, trials come in, God's got a purpose, and the devil's got a purpose. Why are they called fiery trials? Do not be surprised at the fiery trials that come to you as a believer. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Think about a barbecue. Think about the fire can either consume the meat or it can turn it into a juicy steak. It depends on your perspective. God's perspective in a fiery trial is to make us stronger, is to make us a more beautiful Christian. The devil's purpose in a fiery trial is to destroy us. Jesus, after his baptism, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he went through a fiery trial. And he got stronger. He got more assurance. And I can say in my life, after 30 years, I've been through many fiery trials. Some of them were so awful that I just didn't know what to do, and I just said, Lord, I'm at your mercy. You've got to carry me through this year. I can't get through this on my own. And I look back now and I think, wow, look what God did. And the next time something like that happens, I'm not as scared, because he's taken me through before. I'm not as scared. I've got courage because the Lord has helped me in the past. He is my help. He is my shield. The other thing that can happen is you can have full-on assaults from the devil. This is what it says here. It says we've got to take up the shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. The shield of faith was it was like the size of a door. It's about sort of 4 or 5 feet long, and it was 2.5 feet wide. And the Roman soldiers, it had this protective coating which extinguished flames. And so when the enemies threw in, they fired the arrows, often at the most crucial part of the battle. And it's often when we're advancing and a threat to the evil kingdom of this world, that's when the trouble comes. What happened to me in my life was that I made a decision to get baptized. I moved beyond understanding. I moved beyond conviction. I took a step of faith. I said, I'm going to be a public follower of Jesus. And do you know what happened to me? In my mind, my mind was filled with blasphemous thoughts against God. the most obscene and horrendous thoughts. And it went on for weeks. And I felt so guilty. And I thought, I can't get baptized now. If people knew what was in my head, they wouldn't even let me be in the church anymore. I was telling God to, with swear words. Whenever Jesus came into my head, there was this swear word came. I didn't know what to do. You see, it came from outside of me. There are many sinful things that happen within us. You know, Mark chapter 7 talks about thoughts and habits and unclean stuff that comes from within. But this was not from within. This was something which came from without. I was never a swearer. I've never been a swearer. And don't swear today. But during that intense couple of weeks, I was swearing at God every day. And I was feeling so guilty, and I was ready to pull out of the baptism. And one of my friends who lived in Africa, he said, Alistair, we were both about 21 at the time. He said, well, I've never done it, but I've had the teaching, and I know what to do. He said, we've got to kneel down, and we knelt down in my student bedsit, and he laid hands on me, and he said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to depart. And you know what? It felt like an evil spirit left me and went out the window. And this peace filled me. And I've never had it since. And my baptism was a huge turning point in my life, from being someone who was ashamed to say they were a follower of Jesus. I stood up at my baptism and proclaimed my love for Jesus. And the devil didn't want that. So these are two examples. Don't look to me. Don't look to my example. Look to the Psalms. Look to David. How do you put on this? Look to Jesus' example in the wilderness. Don't look to me. Look to Jesus. Look to David in the Psalms. He says so many times, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my victory. And it's God is your shield. God is the one that you look to. God is the one that you don't look at yourself. You look at him and you look at what he's done for you. The devil will basically, he'll beat you up emotionally, mentally, but you need to say, I look to Jesus. He is my strength. He is my shield. He will never let me go. He has promised to never leave me or forsake me. You are a shield around me, O Lord. You give me a shield of victory. You are my loving God, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proclaim this truth to each other. As the three times in Psalm 115, God is loving, God is faithful, he is our help and shield. Tell each other this truth. Don't be isolated. Preach to yourself this truth and know the sure protection of the Lord. He's a faithful God. There is no shadow of turning with him. He will never, ever let you go. In every circumstance, he will be with you. Even when you do not feel him, even when you do not sense him, he is with you. When his word is reliable, trust in it. Look at what Joe has just shared. That's what the government thinks. Where are you getting your truth from? It's in the word. Let's worship God. Let's finish the service by worshiping God. He's a faithful one. If the band could come up, please. Faithful one. So unchanging. We're going to sing two songs.